This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We have this historic downturn happening and people need work. And did we mention climate change as part of our Reimagining the Economy series? Let's turn to Saul Griffith, CEO of a research outfit called Other Lab. He's one author of a plan to create lots of jobs by taking all the bad carbon out of the U.S. economy within just 15 years. It would be, he told me, a World War II level of mobilization.
To win World War II, America spent about 1.8 1940 GDPs, gross domestic products. And then if you sort of do back of the envelope calculations of how much it would cost to decarbonize America, it's probably between 1 and 1.5 GDPs. So by the accounting, it might even be a slightly smaller project than winning World War II with a much happier outcome. And so, you know, if we are serious about what we should be doing for the planet, this is the level of effort required to do it. And if we contextualize it in terms of COVID, this is a historic opportunity, like the Great Depression, like World War II, to do sort of the massive infrastructure spending required to do a job like that. And it will create the jobs we need. And ultimately, we will have a stronger, more resilient, better prepared nation in the future with a healthier populace if we do it.
And you're not talking about doing this by start date 5123.5. This is what, in about 15-year crash program?
If we take the science seriously and we really want to keep ourselves below 2 degrees, America probably needs to do the majority of its decarbonizing by 2035, assuming that it will lead and other countries will follow.
When I think of the austerity needed to lower the chances of climate catastrophe, you know, I think of sacrifice, but you go around saying the process would be joyous.
I think your first proposition is really not quite correct. You can't efficiency your way to zero. And so we still have this historic dialogue about efficiency when what we really need to do is have a dialogue about transformation. And if you sit down, as we have done, we actually did a project with the Department of Energy looking at all of our energy data, and you think about what happens when we electrify the majority of the economy, turns out we only need 50% of the energy we think we need. And that's without doing any of the things we traditionally think of as efficiency. So that means we keep our cars the same, we just electrify them, we keep our homes the same size, and we just electrify the heat with heat pumps. So I actually think there's a great headline, which is we don't have to have austerity to solve climate change, not in North America at least, because it has fabulous renewable resources. And so we could solve climate change. It's a little bit easier than we think because we need less energy than we need today to do it. And it involves a lot less sacrifice. And in fact, most of the things we have to gain are things that we all want to gain. We want cleaner air. We want cleaner water. Our health will improve. Most households have carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide pollution from burning natural gas inside the home. That will go away. So nearly everything we have to win and gain. I don't think there's a lot of austerity absolutely necessary.
And you get net jobs out of this? Because you're going to lose some.
Yeah, so if you really do it aggressively, as we need to hit the appropriate climate targets, we probably create as many as 25 million new jobs in the near term. And in the long term, we'll have 5 million or a few more jobs than we do today in the energy industries that support the economy.
This better decarbonized future is a little bit more labor intensive. And if you're worried about creating jobs, that is a benefit as you see it.
So the current energy industry is really quite astoundingly effective in terms of how much energy it creates for how few jobs. When you're buying oil or natural gas or coal, there's a material cost to those things, and then there's the labor cost of digging them up and processing them. If we go to renewables, the fuel is actually free. We don't pay for the wind or the sunshine as you do in extracting the coal and natural gas. And all of the machines required for that require a little bit more labor because we have to install them and maintain them, and they're more labor intensive so far than fossil fuels. And so we can still have cheaper energy because we don't have to pay for the raw materials, and it will create more jobs. In the short term, a giant increase in jobs because we have to build out the capacity to make all of the machines, all of the electric vehicles, all of the heat pumps, all of the wind turbines, all of the solar cells and batteries. And in the long term, it'll also be more jobs because all of those machines require maintenance. The lifetime of these machines is 20, 25 years, so we have to continue to maintain and reinstall them. And that will mean sustained increase in jobs in the energy industry into the future.
Yeah, I mean, on that last point, we should spare a thought for the existing jobs in the fossil fuel industry that would be lost.
Absolutely. And I think we should be very sympathetic. You know, I think we have an aggressive conversation to the fossil fuel workers where we should be thanking them for a century of service and cheap and convenient energy. But remember, their jobs won't all go away tomorrow. They'll go away slowly over the course of a generation, and they'll be replaced by more jobs that pay just as well or better, also in energy. And many of the jobs will be similar. Skilled trades jobs, jobs driving trucks, doing installation and maintenance, jobs that people can be proud of, building infrastructure.
The electricity that you'd need to power this remarkable conversion to electricity, I mean, renewables, wind, solar, hydro, and what, you'd use some hydrogen power, which takes electricity to do.
I'm not a strictly renewables guy, although we could do it all with renewables. It would be a little bit easier if we could have a small amount of nuclear in the mix, and so we should absolutely keep that on the table. America has a lot of biofuels that we could use to power the difficult to decarbonize sectors like aviation and ocean transport. A little bit of hydrogen will be necessary to decarbonize things like the steel industry, but the very large majority of things will be able to be done with electricity.
Well, I saw in the report that you do have some expanded nuclear power in there for a while. That will annoy some environmentalists, given that we don't know what to do with the waste and that, nuclear power stations sometimes go awry, as we know.
I'm agnostic. Honestly, that is something that the market should decide. It's unclear whether nuclear will be able to compete on costs with solar and wind. And in fact, if you were betting today, you would bet against nuclear being able to compete on cost. So I think it will actually be decided by public opinion and by cost. And the good news is that America can solve climate change without nuclear. But the reason you can say that it would be a little bit easier is nuclear is a very consistent power source. And so having a little bit of nuclear certainly helps with the winter minimum, where the sun doesn't shine as much in winter, and the fact that the sun doesn't shine overnight, and the intermittency of wind, all of those things are helped a little bit if you have very reliable, always-on sources like nuclear and hydro.
Saul Griffith is CEO of Other Lab and one of the authors of a report done in association with a nonprofit called Rewiring in America, that report called Mobilizing for a Zero Carbon America, Jobs, 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 and More Jobs. Dr. Griffith, thank you.
Thank you very much.